Okay, Romans 5. That's where we'll launch off there, and then I'll do a little summary, kind of, and then we'll finish up the verses that we missed. And as always, I believe in edification. So if I'm saying something that you have a problem with, look funny, then I can ask you. If you don't want to raise your hand. But questions, and we'll try to answer them as we go along. But Romans 5, verse 2, we'll just read this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity as we continue to study in your word, as we continue to study what we consider a foundational aspect of your word, and that is being saved by grace and being under grace. We don't want to take these things for granted, but we do want to have a full assurance of understanding when we say we're under grace, what that means and what you expect. We thank you for all those who are here today. We pray that as we continue, that your word might be glorified in us and that it might strengthen and encourage us as you intend it to. We pray for the body universal. We pray for those who have the rule and authority over us. And once again, we pray for the words on the pages that we might receive them, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we started off last week talking about what is grace. And we use that term, and we use it a lot, about being under grace and not under law. But one of the things that I noticed is by going to different places and being in different assemblies is I find out that our vocabulary is not the same as God's vocabulary. When I say that, we use words that God doesn't use. And sometimes we use words that God uses, but we don't use them the way he uses those words. Like, you say salvation, you have to understand what that means. You have to understand what God means when he says that. So one of the things you learn going through life is basics. And one thing that separates us as we go along is God has given us a tremendous amount of grace. When I say us, I mean just human beings. We were created after God's image. Even in our fallen image, we are still at the top of the food chain. When I say that, we're still God's crowning creation. And one of the things that separates us from all other created beings is that we have the ability to communicate with God. Now, when God did this, and he can talk through an animal in the Old Testament. He could cause fish to produce a coin. Those are exceptions. But God created us for fellowship and for communication. And we have a language that we use, spoken language, and we have a mind that we're able to communicate with on a spiritual level. And that separates us from all other creations. Even we're relational. When I'm not saying relational on the instinctive level, I'm saying on a relational basis, on a spiritual level. You know, animals do things out of instinct. We do things because that's the way we were created on a higher level to interact like that. I'm not going to get too sidetracked. You can go, anybody have pets? Yeah. You can sit down and you can talk to your cat. I don't know if you know him by name.
You might.
Yeah.
You can sit down and try to have a conversation, you know, with your cat, and he may walk off. Why would he do that?
Because you don't have any food for him.
You don't have any food, right? He wouldn't know you. So, you know what? Let me tell you what happened at work today. This guy, he'll walk off. Why? Why?
He can't communicate
with you. But I can come home and I say, let me tell you what happened at work today. And we can have communication as long as it goes. Now, all that is great. And then is what God has given for us is written. That shows you that he is a... You ever caught your cat writing notes?
No.
Never?
In the litter box? No.
Never? Any? A bird? You ever saw a bird making a note? But here we are. We have a language. We have a high intellect. Those things are all by design. And that was part of God giving us, starting us off in grace after in Adam, after his image and his likeness, was God had the ability, God and Adam, they had the ability to communicate. And God put Adam over everything else. He talked to God every day in the garden. He talked to communication. This is what I want. This is what we're going to do. This is who you are. He knew all those things. Even so, he knew that when the animals came and they had mates, he knew what?
Name them all.
He knew the name of them all, and he knew there was not one for him. And not help meet. He didn't mix up the relationships. I heard people say that, you know, Adam experimented with the animals, you know, on a physical level. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Not God having Adam at that high of an intellect and that high on a communicative scale, he didn't have to go through that base process to eliminate the fact that they weren't for him. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So on that high of a level, all he had to do is, okay, all this is done. I'm through naming. Like Bob said, well,
where's mine?
Right. So that whole process was for Adam to see this. Just like I'm communicating with you, and they're communicating with each other and relating with each other, you need somebody on that same level that's going to communicate and have a relationship with you. That's why he told them that they would have dominion and subdue and replenish. And he called their name Adam. Because that communication and that relationship was so close that he didn't have to say it's you and her. He just said, what? It's you. It's Adam. It's you. Now, he later said, this is Eve. Because when he lost that image, a lot of things happened that we suffer from today. So, I said I was going to get off track, and I got off track, but I'm back. So we pick up, and we see when Paul says this over in Romans, that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You want to know, like, well, what is this grace? You can't stand in it if you don't know what this grace is. And Louise is not here, but she made mention of this. This is what made me go into this. Was people say this, Adam, Noah had found grace, and he did. And we looked at that last week where when all others fell to the flood, what happened with Noah?
He was saved. He was delivered. And the scripture said, and Noah, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Sharon had pointed this out, that he was a just man. And the scripture said that he was perfect in all his generations. And he walked with God. That automatically shows you that he had the communication and the relationship that was there. Noah operated in faith. And he had access to that grace because he believed God. Right? Without God giving Noah some instruction through that relationship, what happens to Noah? He's scratching on the side of the boat, and there's another guy in there, and not Noah.
And no communication.
Because there's no communication. That, so the grace that Noah found was a result of this. God warned him. God said something to Noah. I'm going to destroy the world. But you, because you walk with me. Now, do you think he was walked every day like him and God walked together? Physically? What do you mean? What happened?
He walked with
him today. He believed what God said.
He believed what he said.
That's what led to his righteousness.
He believed what God said to him along the way. And when we walk with God, that's what it is. We're walking in his word. Amen. If you're not, and that's another word for that is what?
Faith.
And because he walks in God's word and believes God's word, in turn, God says that you are just or righteous. So you get that standing all because God gave you some information. But did he owe it to Noah? Of course not. God is good enough to us to do what? Talk to us. To even put it out there what he wants. That's why I said we're saved by grace through faith. So we see how Noah found that grace. And we go to Genesis, we use Abraham. In Genesis, when God called Abraham, same way. God picked Abraham, and we noticed this last week, out of idolatry. You know what idolatry is, right? That somebody's recognizing a God that isn't the God of creation. And Abraham and his fathers, the scripture said, on the other side of the flood, that's what they did. They served other gods. And God goes in and he gets that one man, pulls him out of idolatry, and he begins to talk to that one man. If he talks to Abraham, you know automatically that Abraham has a chance to do what?
He had a chance to do what he wanted, to listen or not to listen.
To listen or not to listen. So he had a chance to exercise faith in what God said or not. When he said, Abram, I want you to leave, he could have said, I'm okay. I'm okay right here. And that would have messed God's plan up. No. He could have done what? Picked another man. Maybe his name would have been Jeffrey. I don't think it was a Jeffrey back then. Maybe his name could have been
Joshua.
Okay. Well, but another person. But Abram responded in faith. And when he brought him out, and the scripture said, and Abram believed God, and it was counted as righteousness. Now, what did Abram do for God to pull him out? What did Abram do worthy of God pulling him out of idolatry?
Chosen.
Nothing. So God did it because what? Because he wanted to. Because he was good enough, and in his plan, he picked that man.
Do you think in his foreknowledge he saw that he would have believed?
Mm-hmm. Of course he knows who will and won't. Right. But the fact is, he picked that man just out of his goodness. Out of his grace. Because really, if he's worshiping other gods, what did he deserve?
Death,
judgment. And he got the opposite. And God picks him and he says, I'm going to start something new with you. And the people that come after you, I want them to believe me just like you. But God called him righteous before he gave him anything to do. Before he was, we noticed last week, before he was circumcised, he was already righteous to God because he believed God. Before he offered Isaac, he was already righteous because he already believed God. Right? When he took him out there and said, look, count the stars. Can you count them? Nope. So shall thy seed be. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. That means he was just when he believed. But he couldn't believe until he what?
Heard
God.
Communication.
So you're gonna see a common theme coming through here is God offers grace. You respond. And really this is goodness, but it's also based on information.
Forsaking all, I trust him.
That's it. Forsaking all, I trust him. But it has to be what God's saying to you.
Right.
So that's why I said we use this word today, and we have a different meaning. When I say we, even professed believers, when they say faith, and you say, well, how do you know that? And you say, well, I'm believing God for this.
He didn't tell you anything.
And you say, well, what did he say? And you say, well, I don't know. I just feel it. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And for you to get them back on this information that God said is really hard, which goes back to the beginning, is this. God has put us on a higher level that we're able to communicate. We have a spoken language. We have an intellect that we're able to process what God wants. He wouldn't have wrote it if he wanted you to go by feelings. He wouldn't have written a book if he wanted you to go by feelings. So we see that Abraham got access to the grace by faith. And because of his response, he received the blessings. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the blessings are based on what?
Faith.
Say it again?
Faith.
Which is based on what?
Information.
Right.
Grace.
And the information needs to be the current information.
It has to be current information to you. So what I'm trying to get you to see is this, is you don't get anything without God's grace. Nobody ever did. Now, he may give you, before you get the blessings, uh, He may give you some
tribulations.
They might end up in tribulation.
Yeah.
But he may give you some. I can't think of what I want to say. He may give you some requirements. And then you get the blessings. For example, when he told Noah, he said, before you get the blessings, you do what?
You build a boat.
You build that boat.
Yeah.
And you won't build that boat unless you what?
Get ready for what I say.
And the reason I'm giving you what I said is only because what? Not because he owes it to him. And the reason God operates in grace is because that's part of his character. And he usually, these things are just according to his purpose. So it goes, the originating source is God. And so you get down to Paul, and he says, who has known the mind of God? Or who has been his instructor? Who can say to him, what are you doing? Nobody. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. I don't have to consult any other to work out my plan. God said, you're in on it if you want to be. And that's only because of what?
Grace.
His grace. So today, that's why I use this when I try to tie this together, is this. Most people feel like I'm the purpose. Just me. And the blessing is whatever I determine it to be. If I want a car, then that's the blessing. If I want a house, that's it. It's not what God wants, it's what I want. So everything I do has to fit into my blessing, not God's plan. It has to fit into my plan. Now, I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all are different. But talk to 10 believers and say, how do you know that God has shown you grace? And you know what he'll do?
Point to their blessings.
He'll point to his blessings. What is it?
Material.
Then Paul said this. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us
with all spiritual blessings.
With what?
All spiritual blessings.
All what?
All
spiritual blessings.
In
the heavenly places. Not all material blessings on Hines. That's my street, by the way. Wherever your street is. Okay. But you see the connection. Noah, Abraham, he got it by grace. Moses, we use Moses, in that one verse we said Abraham was the father of faith. That's how he became the father of faith, is simply because he believed God. And God wants all those who follow after to be like him. That's why God gave Abraham circumcision, not to get faith or to get justified, was because it was a symbol of what he already had. And he says, this is my covenant, that every one of your men after you, or anybody who wants to approach me now, they have to have this covenant in their flesh. Circumcision. And it was a symbol that they believe like you do. Now, what the Jews did was took the symbol and made a religion out of it. Kind of like we do other stuff. But God said, now, that's not what I meant. He said, I just want your belief first. I want your faith first. Now, he pulls Moses. And Moses, you say, well, how did Moses get grace? Because he brought in the law. Right? Those are two direct opposites. But why did God choose Moses?
We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know. You do know. Why did God choose Moses?
Because he heard him and obeyed. He had faith in what he spoke.
Okay. Moses wasn't even born. Why did God choose Moses?
Because he wanted to.
I said,
we don't know.
Well, you do know. Because he wanted to. That's why. He chose him. Why?
Because he wanted to.
I say it again.
For his purpose. There you go.
For his purpose. You know what? Now, if nothing else, I can stop right here. When you see that, you can automatically think what? But see that on the top of the page, we wrote a whole lot of things out. And they include unmerited. Remember when we first started? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could sum it up in that. Because when God says all things, he's usually talking about all things that relate to his purpose. Now, so Moses, by faith, his parents hid him. Now, Moses didn't have a clue who he was. Like most of us. And we don't have a clue in God's purpose who we are and what he's called us for. But his parents did. By faith, what do you know that his parents knew now?
Put him in a little crib and stuck him on the river.
They put him in the river. They said, by faith. So you know his parents. What do you know about his parents? If they did it by faith, what do you know about his parents?
They heard God.
And they what?
Obeyed.
And they, here's the requirement. They didn't say, well, and it could have worked out. They could have said, well, God picked Moses and honey, kiss your son, and we're going to let God work it out. But he said, no. He said, by faith, they what? They hid him. Now, God said, no. You put him in an ark, and you do what? You put him in a river.
Yeah, probably alligators in there.
You think they thought about that?
They just faith. They're like,
you're like, not the now.
Yeah, dangerous.
But they did exactly what they wanted.
No.
They did exactly what he wanted. And it just so happened that Pharaoh's daughter is her bath time.
Imagine
that.
Say it again. His daughter is what?
It just so happened it's her bath time.
Yeah, but they knew when they put him, did they not, on the river that he was going to pass by where she came? Did they know?
Unless God filled all the blanks in for them, I can't say that. But I know one thing: God said this. You put him in there. And I just believe he took care of the rest.
Absolutely.
Now, you can make that deduction Because he works all things after what?
Purpose of his own will.
So you can say, well, by coincidence, it was her bad time.
So who came back? Was it his mother or his aunt? Who came back?
And they took the child.
Yeah.
And they said, go find the Hebrew, the nursery.
That's right.
And they go the back by coincidence
to
their own mother's house.
Amen.
I'm sure that had nothing to do with God.
He just happened to
steal.
When
right.
God pinched him when he...
Now, now, that's just Moses as a baby. Mm-hmm. His chances of turning out pretty good.
Yeah.
Being God's, being on God's side. Wouldn't you say so?
Well, you struck that rock.
Right, now. So, after all that, God, by faith... Scripture said, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt.
Right.
So, by this time, he's 40 years old. Mm-hmm. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Mm-hmm. What do you know about Moses?
His mama.
And 40.
Full-blown Egyptian. I mean, he'd been grown up in their culture and everything, but at the same time, his mom... Didn't they not wean them until they were around 8 years old? And then the Bible says, bring the child up in the way they should go and they'll return or something like that. Testing.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, you know, during that first 8 years, his mom brought him up in Hebrew faith and it stayed with him.
She's right. She's, as we say when we used to play the game, she's getting hot.
Yes.
It's getting hot. Say again?
No, I was talking about this.
What do you know about Moses at 40? The Hebrews said this, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt.
That's right.
He chose
to be out of the people of God instead of the riches in Egypt.
Okay.
The scripture says.
Say about.
Well, I'm like agreeing with what you're saying. Like,
okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right. He did say that.
And he chose.
He did the choice. So he had to be hearing God.
Say it again.
He had to be hearing God.
He had to be hearing God.
Yeah, at 40, he had to be hearing
God. That's what I wanted. Is you know at 40 that he was hearing something from God that told him who he was.
If you have faith, you have to have information.
You have to have information. Look. How did Moses get to be who he was?
By grace.
That's it. By grace. Now, by faith, he went out and he talked to the Egyptians. He saw the brothers fighting, the two Hebrews fighting. And he said he would have set them at one again. But they said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Stand with the Hebrews.
Well, he said, somebody said, what are you going to do? Kill me? Like you killed the Egyptian?
And then he was out of there after that, wasn't he?
Nah, he was out of there after that. But before he went to talk to them, he killed an Egyptian. Do you know why he killed the Egyptian? Say it again.
He was going against his brother.
He knew all those years that he was in Egypt, he knew, you know what, I'm really God's man. I'm not second in command. I am, but I'm not. He knew that because his purpose was in line with what? With God's purpose. Because God had... the reason he killed that Egyptian was because he knew that he was the deliverer.
Right.
How do you think he knew that?
God told him.
That's after that. That's afterwards. That's after all that. Look, that's why I think the scripture said when Moses was full 40, he did those things. He got ahead of God. God didn't say, today is the day of deliverance.
Exodus, second chapter.
Read that. To what?
Verse 11.
Exodus 2:11. Okay.
And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strolled together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known.
There you go. Now, he did all that by faith. Not that.
That was the
plan. That was, yeah, because even though he knew God picked him, even though he knew who he was, he went ahead of God in that aspect. And he said, that's why he did this. Yeah. He looked this way. He looked that way. If God sent him, he could have just went and did the job. And God would have been responsible for his deliverance. But he knew nobody's looking?
In the flesh.
Now, you know what I like? This is why you have to have confidence in Scripture. Is who saw him?
God.
God saw him. Who wrote it down?
Moses
wrote it down. Can you imagine writing down your own fault? That's inspiration. You know, Moses, I'm going to take it.
Moses wrote it down.
Who wrote Exodus?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
God wrote Exodus. Do you catch that?
Don't leave that out, Moses. Yeah,
God wrote. So, you're right. He says, do we have to put that in? Yeah, put that in. Especially that. So, but he said, surely this thing is known. And Bob said it was time to leave. But even with that, the scripture said, by faith, he left Egypt. He didn't leave because he was scared. Now you say, well, they know. They know I did it. And we would think that he was scared, that's why he left. But the scripture said he left by faith. God got to him and said, okay, time to go.
Time for the next 40. Your next test.
So he goes out, and then after another 40 years, God appears to him again. He had a whole another life. He was
getting like Egypt out of him.
Look, he was
that pride.
He went from being served to serving. So he's you notice, and we covered this. Everything we cover usually it ties back to the big purpose. Do you notice that when we're going through scripture, we're pointing out one lesson that most of God's men were servants, were
shepherds.
What was Moses doing on the backside of the desert for 40 years? He was a shepherd. He had to learn
how to serve.
Yes.
That was grace by itself. I was going to say this, but since you said it, I'm going to follow you up. he had to go learn how to be gracious. Remember Jesus in the Gospels, he says, what man having 100 sheep, if one fell by the wayside, he wouldn't leave the 99 to go back and get that one? That's why Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd that careth for the flock. But he's learning. Then after 40 years, God shows up. He's doing his job, and he sees the bush burning. And he said, what is that? And he pulls up to the side. He said, I had to go look to see what it was. But you know what he went to see?
Why isn't it consumed?
You know what he went to see? He went to see grace. Because God was ready to reveal his purpose again. He said, remember that thing we talked about 80 years ago? Before you were born? Remember the thing I told you prepare us about? It's time. What thing? You know, that deliverance thing. Everybody forgot by then. The children of Israel, Moses. He said, man, I like my job. Everything's fine.
I'm old. I can't speak good anymore.
So he goes on to his wife. He says, well, I got to go.
Go where?
God showed me it's time for the next step. Who? God. Jehovah. Mm-hmm. Who's that? One thing Moses, he never forgot was who God was. But he married a woman and had no idea. We don't do that, do we? So, but by faith, when God appears to Moses, he sends him to be the deliverer. Now, how did he do it on his own?
No.
Of course not. He had what? He had faith because God gave him some what? Information.
Grace.
He gave, right. He, by his grace, he gave him information. And that grace was all about his purpose. The information God gave him, Moses exercised faith in it. And God told Moses that he was going to be the deliverer. Now, one thing that's included in this grace too is anything that God asks you to do and you respond to it, He has a responsibility
to equip you
or enable you to do it. He's not going to ask you something that He can't get done through you. Do you hear what I said? That He can't get done through you, not that you can't get done. Okay. Samuel. Are we going? First Samuel. I got to run through these again. First Samuel 15. Now, Moses, he fulfills his part because he brings them through the desert. Let me rephrase that. God fulfills his purpose through Moses. He brings him through the desert into the promised land, and he tells the Jews while they're in the promised land, he gives them some things to do. Now, we're skipping all that because they fail miserably. And God says, if you fail, I'll put you under the curse. And they're under the curse. And while they're under the curse, They're fighting the Philistines, and everybody's scared of Goliath. Everybody. 15, let's see, when the Israelites pick Saul as their king.
Yeah. He was supposed to kill all the Amalekites, and he didn't.
He was supposed to kill everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he kept verse, Agar, and he kept the king Agar, and some of the other good things for himself.
Some of the other what?
The good things for himself. Some material of the gods.
Good to who?
Good for him. Good. Good for his people, not for God.
That's what I want to hear. Not for God. God said what?
Kill them all.
Kill them all. That's faith, right? Yeah. What would faith do?
Be obedient. You be obedient.
Give them blessings.
What would faith do?
Kill them all.
Kill them all. Yeah, I think.
I thought they were dead.
No, Bob just said he kept.
Yeah. He didn't kill everybody.
He kept the
king, Hagar, and then all the. He was supposed to slaughter the animals and everything. He kept them.
I like the other word you said. He kept the
king.
The good things. He kept the good things. For himself. The good thing, and I said the good things to who? To him it was good. But God said what? Kill it all. He what?
He disobeyed.
Right? As soon as he disobeyed, what happened to the grace?
Well, God says you ain't going to.
It didn't vanish.
Right, because you didn't follow my word. So now you're going to be removed as king and we're going to bring on David.
Thank you. What happened to. The grace was still there. The grace. Faith. This might be out of order, right? You got to have, before you get the faith, you got to have information.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have, we'll say the empowerment. Okay. Now, God would, as long as he was king, even though they chose him, God said, I'll stand behind you as long as you do what I say do. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, because what I say do is still consistent with what I'm doing, with my purpose. So, the minute Samuel disobeys, what happens? Where does the change? What?
No more empowerment.
No more. Look, empowerment comes by faith, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Faith comes by information.
Yeah.
God's grace gives an information. Where's the key link?
Faith.
The minute he stops believing, what happens?
Well, so like you say, no more empowerment, no more blessings.
That's it.
Consequences.
So, now, God's still gracious because he still has his purpose in mind. He still has the information about that purpose that he has to relay. Well, it looks like we blew it because Saul is gone now. I guess that's all over with. Give it to somebody else. Look at verse 15:28. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord. Okay, go back. 24. 23. Okay, 22. That's it. 22. 21. That's it. 21. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Mm-hmm. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away. He laid hold on the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day. I like this part. And hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Now, where is David?
He's shepherding.
Right. He has no clue that I'm the king. Man, I love this man. He has no idea what's going on. He's just ready for what? He's ready for God's grace. Because, look, God said, I got me a new guy. I already got a guy.
I didn't realize he blamed it on the people, where he said, man. I regretted it because I feared the people.
And obeyed their voice.
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure, right. No,
sorry.
No, that's good. He said, I already got a guy. Mm-hmm. And all I need to do
is give him
the information. So he said, now, Samuel, you go get him. Go get my neighbor. Go get the neighbor. And he goes out and he pulls all those boys together. Look, God said, don't look at them. Don't look at the outside. You know, he's starting with the oldest. He said, well, that's got to be him. No. Look, Jesse had, you know how many sons Jesse had?
Seven
sons.
The weakest and the youngest.
You know what? He goes through all of them. This shows you, look, Samuel is God's man.
You should know better.
And this lets you know, God could have said, go get David. That's a direct, and Samuel would have done it. I think he put that in there for us. Because he wants you to see that you don't think like me normally. I got to tell you what to think. I got to tell you what to think. If I don't tell you what to think, you're going to do what you think. Samuel goes through all of Jesse's sons. And he said, the Lord said, nope. Number five. This guy, nope. Six. Not him either. You know what he says? Wait a minute. Do you have any more? And he said, well, we got one more, but he out in the field. He ain't ready for none of this. And he said, well, I think you better go get him, because that's the one. And when he comes in, God said, that's him right there. And you know what? He was ready. He was just a little weak shepherd. And God said, that's him. That's the one right there. And he takes him, and God gives the nation the biggest blessing and the biggest peace that they ever had under David. And David, you know what God said about David? He's a man. And all that David did, he said, he did everything I wanted, except one thing he messed up in. And that's with Bathsheba. Now, scripture got a lot of things that David did that weren't right. But God, and even that one, God says, when you read Paul, God says, David said this. When he was under the inspiration of God, David wrote this.
Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's when he was going through the thing with Bathsheba.
Right.
God says, no, how do you feel? How do you feel? I feel terrible. How do you feel after I showed you that I put away your sin? I feel great. He said, write it down. Both of them. And he's writing it down. You know, like, do I have to write that part, Lord? Yeah. Especially that part. And he writes it down by inspiration. He can't help it. He's writing it down. And it's, blessed is the man to whom the Lord would not impute sin, whose iniquities are forgiven. And he said, write that down. Write that down for Melissa to come. Because I want them to know about my grace. Because if I pick her, if I pick her and she responds, I can do it. Right? I could do it. And he writes it down for us. I said three, but we're gonna do four. Because we ain't even got to us yet. Man, this is good. I don't know what y'all think. I like this. I like this. This, but we gotta stop.